Owen Marbury was part owner of an IT service business. Now he's locking horns with his ex-partner Devin and fighting for his reputation and his freedom. But when Michaela Stanford, his former college bestie and crush, walks back into his life, he's reminded of the fire that still burns between them. As their 20-year college reunion approaches, they have a chance to rekindle their friendship and explore love once again. But Owen's battle with Devin is getting in the way of pursuing things with Michaela. With Devin breathing down their necks and threatening their lives, Owen must decide whether to give in or fight for his heart's desire. This is the premise of Secret Second Chances, a friends to lovers second chance romance, available on Amazon on March 5th. Pick up your copy today. Hello, everyone. This is YM Nelson, and you're listening to the Nerdy Romantics podcast. This episode is part one of episode 6, and we talk season 1 of Netflix's new hot historical romance show, Bridgerton. Joining me will be fellow Nerdy Romantics Marcy, Dana, and Stacy. Dana and Stacy are also permanent guests of the YouTube L5 podcast. So stay tuned. All right, everyone, we are back with our Bridgerton Nerdy Romantics chat panel. We have Marcy, who's new to us, and Dana and Stacy. However, full disclosure, these are all my real life friends. So there we go. So Marcy, we're going to start it off with you. Tell us what you like to read and what was the last thing that you read.
All right. So my favorite genre of the moment is probably urban fiction. And a lot of that has to do with my Kindle Unlimited account. But I also like general historical fiction. I do like biographies, and I also like inspirational fiction and devotionals and things like that as well. And the last thing that I read that I would like to talk about here would probably be from one of my favorite authors, Iris Bowling, and it was the Last in Her Heart series, The Hearts United. And it was bittersweet because it is the last in a series that I started with her when she became a writer and watched her grow through. But the story was phenomenal. And she's announced she has new series coming, including the Rain series and some more of her Gems and Gents series. So I'm a little excited that although this story arc has ended, that we have more to look forward to.
Let's go with Stacy. Stacy has told us a little bit about what she likes to read. So Stacy, why don't you just reintroduce yourself and tell us the last book or books that you read that you liked.
Hello. Well, the last book that I've not necessarily read but listened to was Devolution by Max Brooks, which I really enjoyed. It's that horror kind of genre that I said I like, and I do. The only thing that I'm kind of trying to listen to right now is Take a Hint, Danny Brown right now.
And Dana, the listeners know you as well. So why don't you tell us the last book or books that you really like?
So the last book I actually read is called Fever Dream, and it is by Lincoln Chow and Douglas Preston. And it's part of their Pendergast series, and I think there may be 20 or 21 books in it, and I'm just going through every one of them. I found them late last year, and I'm just so in love with the thriller horror component of it that I've kind of put some of my romance books to the side, believe it or not, so I could focus on this for a little while. And I am just whipping through them, and I'm listening to them on audio.
So let's get into Bridgerton. And this is just kind of open to everybody. Has anybody read the Bridgerton series or any of the Bridgerton books by Julia Quinn?
I have not.
I have not either.
I have not either.
So we're all kind of new to the whole Julia Quinn series. However, when you first watched it or when you first heard about it and you decided, I want to watch this series, did you know it was a romance novel? What did you know about it? Let's start with Stacey.
Really, since I watch Netflix and it shows you, you know, upcoming things that are that you might be interested in, and because I watch a lot of historical period kind of pieces, it brought up that up as something I might be interested in. Yeah, I really didn't know it was a romance or based on romance novels. I mean, I knew that it was not going to be drama or anything like that, but I didn't know initially that it was based on romance novel. But when I first saw it and then heard about it and about the cast, I was like, let's give this a whirl.
Okay, Marcy, how about you?
I feel like I saw a preview on Facebook. Uh-huh. And I feel like it was from maybe like Shadow and Act or The Griot. So I had been introduced to it through a lens of the representation. And I was immediately impressed that it did have a broad cast. It looked interesting. And to Stacey's point, I also watch a lot of British and historical programming. When I actually logged into Netflix for the first time, it recommended it to me as well. And it said it was a pretty good fit. And it was right.
Okay, Dana?
So I'm a little different than you guys. I first heard of it because I'm a huge Scandal fan. And I heard Shonda Rhimes was coming out with this big thing. And everybody was like anticipating and all excited about it. Then I heard a little bit of controversy about it when it came out. And then I saw like the cover. I never saw a trailer. So like a still photo of two of the main characters standing. Maybe they were wrapped. They're like, there were flowers going around that. I don't know. Anyway, yep. And I was like, yeah. Oh, yeah, no, this is not my thing. So I had no plans to watch it at all.
Oh, my gosh, that's funny. So how did you end up watching it then? Did we make you do it?
Well, in a roundabout way, yeah, because y'all are all talking about it. And, of course, I want to know what's going on, you know, since y'all are all talking about it and I wanted to see it. And then, honestly, the controversy part of it, I was like, are we just being a little overly PC or is this really something really, really bad? I was understanding exactly how it played out. And so, of course, I didn't want to just go to the particular episode. So I was like, I'm going to watch the whole thing and see what I think. And I'm going to be honest, I wanted to hate it going into it. I was just like,
Why did you want to hate it? I was going to go somewhere else, but you just said I wanted to hate it. So why?
I'll be completely honest with you. I am tired of how Black women are represented on TV shows. And so I feel like in movies, I feel like a lot of times we are left out of them. So when I saw that we had a main character who was a Black male, and then the main female character was a white female, I was just like, yeah, I've seen this and I don't want to see it right now. And not because I have any problems with interracial relationships, because I don't, but I am tired of how I feel like Black women are represented when it comes to entertainment media like this. So that kind of bothered me. And then the fact that I felt from a historical standpoint, that historical romances sometimes kind of bother me. But for this, I'm willing to let go of what in my mind may have been accurate and just focus on, hey, this is a story that somebody's trying to tell. And that's what it is, a story. It is not a documentary.
Okay, since Dana opened the door, let's all kind of jump in and talk about that. So full disclosure, we are all females of African-American persuasion. We're all Black women and we're all proud of that fact. Since, you know, Marcy mentioned representation and also we mentioned a little bit about historical. Let's talk about the representation of this. Did we think when we're watching it, wow, this is not historically accurate? Were we thinking, well, there's a lot of talk out there anyway about this. What were we thinking? Let's just go with that. What were we thinking about the casting and about the representation racially of the cast?
Sorry. Yeah, I was just going to say, I'll just kind of go back on what I was saying a second ago is that, first of all, those opinions I just shared were before I saw the show. So that's what I was thinking about when I heard about it and what I saw.
Okay.
So after watching the show, I realized that there were Black female characters in there that I felt were very, very strong. So that part surprised me. And so that I really, really like some of my favorite characters. So I was like, okay, you know, just the picture I saw is not really a true representation of obviously what this is all going to be about and all the people involved. So I like that. But the one thing that they did do, but kind of then left it hanging for me, I accept that it's not going to be historically accurate. I don't want to see, honestly, I'm not sure I'd really be interested in it if it was historically accurate. Again, like I said earlier, this isn't a documentary. It's supposed to be like fantasy, you know, entertainment. So that didn't bother me, except that they mentioned some racism issues and then never addressed it again. So at one point, the Duke is talking about how the only reason that these people are accepting to Black people is because the Queen, I guess, is biracial. It's brought up and it's kind of like understood, yeah, that's the only reason they accept us as Black people, and never brought up again as any type of issue among anybody whatsoever. And then he marries a white lady. So it's right. Like, let's just not talk about it at all, because then we're just keeping the fantasy. Let's go with it. But then you mm-hmm. brought it up, and now I'm like, well, now you got to address it. You know, it's
right.
Not, to me, if you thought they were racist before, let's say, they're still racist. Like, that does not change how they feel about you. They're just accepting you because, hey, the Queen is this way, so we don't have a choice. Because we can clearly see that the Queen is very demanding. And if you were to be improper and not accept somebody, she would have fit. I kind of was like turned off by that just a little bit. I do wish, honestly, we had just left that out.
Well, I think they kind of put that in as a filler for people who wanted an explanation. But I didn't think that was needed either. When that one little part about he fell in love with one of us and that's how we're here. And it was just, you could have left it out. Maybe it's because, you know, when I started watching it, I didn't really have any expectations because of never read the novels. I didn't see it through, you know, how Marcy said that she saw a little preview of it through Shadow and Act. I just saw, oh, it's on my Netflix. Let me start watching it. And then when I started watching, it's like, oh, we've got a Black Duke. That's not really what it is. But you know what? I'm liking it because, you know, it's the holiday season and I want something nice, easy, breezy to watch. And I was watching the whole time, not really so much caring that how Black people came into high society and royalty and all that. And then they show about Queen Charlotte. I knew a little bit about that history in real life in that history. But seeing that, you know, and they had to do that little explanation, it's like, you didn't need to do it, at least not for me. Now, there might be a group of people who's like, I need to know how they have Black people here, because that's, I just don't like how that is. And it's like, if that person wanted to know, had a reason of how Black people came in there, that was not, that one little blurb was not going to make them feel better, because it was not enough to explain how all of society changed from one marriage. And I agree with Dana on that the king marrying Queen Charlotte, and she's Black or mixed, or I'm not sure if they actually said it either way, but marrying her, and that somehow that racism disappeared. It's like, yeah, that doesn't really happen. I think they knew that somebody or some people would be saying, well, how did this happen? And so they thought to throw that in. But by having just thrown that one little part in, that doesn't really, to me, would satisfy that group of people who were so adamant about how this happened. This is not historically accurate. This is, you know, that would not help that group of people. So for me, it could have been left out. And I could have just watched it and been like, okay, this is what's happening. You have a Duke that's Black. We have royalty that's Black. I'm fine with it. Let's keep on moving and let's continue to watch the show.
Right.
I would have to say that I agree. I feel like the afterthought was more of a distraction than an enhancement to the story. I was pleasantly surprised by the diversity. And I think that for me, that was enough. I wasn't necessarily expecting historical accuracy, because even in quote unquote historical fiction, there are always allowances taken. So I just considered this another allowance and was moving forward into the story itself and the characters themselves. And I didn't need the explanation. And I do think that it didn't appease the people that needed it, because it wasn't quite full enough. And then I think for those of us who didn't need it, I think it just provided a distraction from the story. I was glad to just see characters, full characters of all types and all body shapes and all sizes. And for me, it was just, it was more of immersing myself in that world. And I didn't need to any explanation about why any of the characters existed in that world, because I was willing to follow the story.
Right. The historically accurate to me part was probably the Queen Charlotte and King George, that whole thing. And I think when you put that in and then you put the explanation in, then it kind of throws everything off, because that's not exactly how it happened, right? It wasn't just, you know, Queen Charlotte, King George, and all of a sudden everybody became that's not how it actually happened. So to me, I think that's where it threw things off for me. And it also kind of devalues the whole fact that we know that Queen Charlotte is of mixed heritage, or, you know, whatever they wanted to call it back in the day. So Dana did mention, you know, the whole Shonda Rhimes thing. So that's kind of, to me, also where a little bit of the explanation comes in for the casting for me. And I don't think everybody necessarily knew that this was a Shonda Rhimes vehicle, or that, or who Shonda Rhimes is, maybe. You know, as a fan of her work, I know that she's really big into diverse casting. And not having read the novels, I know that necessarily these characters in the novels, they're not diverse in the novels, obviously, but the fact that the author kind of signed off on that. I'm like, okay, we don't need this explanation. We can move on with this. But yeah, when you give that explanation, it just kind of brings that up. But I will piggyback on the fact that having some great representation, I believe her name is Lady.
Danbury.
Okay. Having, you know, some representation that's like upstanding, and having different representation for Black females. I just love that. I'm all for that. The other big thing or big controversy about this whole show is the sex. Again, I haven't read the novels, but I have heard about the level, I guess, level of sex or kind of sex or type of sex in the novels. And I'm trying to figure out why there's so much controversy about it, specifically about the scene, right? And we all know the scene, you know, she kind of tries to force conception on him or whatever, tries to get herself pregnant or whatever. And there's a lot of controversy there about that being like a rape scene. Why is that in there? I've heard in the book, it's actually worse than that. So there's that. What are we thinking about the sex in this particular series?
Aside from the bedroom scene, or the scene for a second, I thought the sex was hot. Like, I know there were times I've read where some people have said they felt like the characters did not have connection, and I do not feel that way at all. I do feel like they were very connected, and I felt like that's why the sex was hot, because if it hadn't been some connection between them, some chemistry, then it would have just been like boring, and, you know, I wouldn't have been into that part of it. So I think overall, I think it was a good amount of it. I was happy with the sharing of nudity across all sexes, because sometimes that's not how it is. Yes. So just in general, I thought it was good. I was there for it. No problems. In terms of the scene, in the book, granted, it may be very different, whatever, I haven't read, don't even know what it says. From a show standpoint, I did not see this as rape at all. There were some problems that I have with the scene from a physical standpoint, as well as just categorizing rape when the victim may or may not have felt that they were raped. So, for example, like the way things happen and him unable to remove her from on top of him. Now she weighs like 40 pounds soaking wet. Right. And he does not seem to try to move her. And so I did not really get, like, I got more of the impression that he was like, oh, I shouldn't do this, but I like it, you know? So that to me, it was not like a no, get off me. Because, you know, I'm going to be honest, had it been me, you know, I would have been punching, slapped her off to the side, you know, done something, especially with him being stronger than her. There was no, there was no fighting him for this or whatever. And I know Stacey will probably talk about the betrayal, which I agree with too, but I'll let her do that. But then the other part to that is I did not get the impression that he felt he was raped. He may have been mad that they might have a baby, but there was no feeling towards me that he didn't feel that. And so if the quote unquote victim does not take it that way, I have a hard time then putting that label on their sexual, whatever they are choosing to do. People do all kinds of things behind closed doors. I don't feel like I have the right to label it. They do.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of and I think we're looking at this historical piece with the 2021 lens. And I think that also provides people with some of the reasons for some of the feedback. I mean, when you look at the those types of sex scenes versus what we see today, then I do think the lens is different. But if you look at it in terms of the time, I think it was appropriate in what we saw depicted, and to Dana's point, in the level of passion and all of that, because I think our expectations of a scene today are very much different, but we also would have had a Daphne who would have a whole different level of information than she had at the time. I think they both would. So I think you can't expect a scene written in a historical novel to look like a scene that would have occurred in 2021. We have to be aware of throwing around any label up to and including rape, because I think it's important to understand all of the factors that go into that. And while I do think that they had different opinions on how things ended, I agree with Dana to some degree that he was physically able to change that scenario as he had many times before. And so I think that if you look at their past interactions, you would see that he clearly had that ability to change that if he had so chosen. And I think that we have to keep that in mind. But I agree also with Dana that I felt like they had a connection. I felt like they had a passionate relationship. And I thought that it was an appropriate, it was well done. I think all of the scenes across all of the actors were well done. I agree also that I was glad to see that there was more nudity and more bodily exposure of both genders, because I agree a lot of times that females are largely displayed far more than men. And in this case, I felt like it was much more evenly dispersed. And I am glad to know from a 21st century lens that the actresses themselves felt like the intimacy coordinators were there to help them feel comfortable in those experiences. So for me, I think it was well done. It didn't detract from the story. It was appropriately displayed. And it's a romance. You like to know the people have a vibe. And it was nice to see the vibe.
Stacey, any opinions on it?
Well, I have to agree with both Marcy and Dana in that I felt that they did have a connection. It looked like it. I felt it. It was really, the scenes were tastefully done. So I really agree on that sense. When I read certain things after watching the show about, oh, I don't feel there's a connection, but they didn't have enough this or that. It's like the whole story is not just about those two people. Because some people were talking about there's not enough foreplay, there's not enough this, or there was not enough that. They are part of the story and they're the key characters, but there were also other storylines within that. So we can't spend our whole entire time on this one couple.
Yeah.
But I did feel that they did have chemistry. Now, on the scene that they're talking about, the scene, which I didn't really think it was the scene until someone
I know, right?
On Facebook and you know, and all those little blurbs and blogs about it. And maybe part of it, I hate to say, maybe I've been a little bit desensitized from some of those romance novels we've been reading. So maybe, maybe that's it. And because I didn't feel it was necessarily rape, I was trying to think of the best way to describe that as more like forced parentage. I'm not sure what to call it, but because, you know, he was into it until I don't want to have kids. And the only reason he doesn't have kids is because, not because of anything bad toward, if I have kids, something's going bad going to happen to me or her, or it's because I have a ongoing hatred with my dead father. And so maybe that's part of the reason I just didn't think of it as a scene. And maybe also because I've never read the book. To Marcy, what Marcy said about we're seeing it through our, if we think of it from our perspective of 2021, she wouldn't get off him when he was like, no. And yeah, that, okay. If I think of it that way, then I'm like, okay, there are some bad things that are happening right now in this scene. But if you think of it, if you want to be historically accurate, then there's nothing, you know, in that scene. It's actually probably the opposite with him and her versus her doing that to him, because women didn't have really a choice in that until really, if you think about it, quite recently, because people didn't consider marriage rape within a marriage. I guess seeing it, if you see it from that historical perspective, it does not seem as bad as you think of it now. But overall, the whole show and the whole chemistry between the two, I mean, I really enjoyed their chemistry. I thought they had plenty of it. Even when it wasn't a sex scene, it's just how the banter going back and forth. They seemed like they really were getting along. Like, it wasn't, yes, they were acting, but it actually seemed like that there was actual chemistry, even in real life. I at least can like this person in real life. So I agree with both Dana and Marcy in that it was the chemistry and the scenes were hot. I mean, I have to admit, they were really hot and I really enjoyed watching it.
Yeah, I was here for all of it, y'all. All of it. I was like, this is great. And then I get on doggone social media and realize, oh my gosh, you know, people are actually talking negatively. I mean, are we kidding with this? I mean, is this serious right now? People are actually talking about this. And one of the comparisons I saw, you know, I don't know if anybody else saw it, was, you know, comparing this to the show Normal People on Hulu. Normal People is, you know, just like what Marcy and Stacy were saying, this is 21st century and Normal People is a contemporary book, maybe not necessarily, it's 21st century. And the sex there, I actually went and I binge watched it and so I could compare. And I'm like, these are totally different time periods, totally different settings, totally different scenes. And there's no way you can compare one to say the level of sex in Bridgerton is not as good as Normal People. Because with Normal People, it's 21st century. It's the age of the whole consent thing. It's the whole guy asking the girl if she's okay. And as we saw in Bridgerton, Daphne basically did not even know her body could do certain things, right? She never masturbated before. She didn't know anything about sex at all. And then when she got married, her mom said, oh, I guess we need to talk about this. And then her mom said some half-brained things that could not even pass for a sex talk these days. Then she went off to her honeymoon. Stacey.
Well, I read the same thing, and somebody compared the sex scenes of Bridgerton to Normal People. And so I watched it on Hulu. Haven't seen all of it because they were sad. They're really sad. And I just couldn't do it anymore. The relationship is really intense and sometimes to me kind of depressing. Their whole thing about them is the whole show is about their relationship and how they work together. And it's about them. While in Bridgerton, yes, it is the Duke and Daphne. I mean, it's about them, but you have all these other things that are going on. You're talking about, you know, Daphne's brothers, and then all three of them had their own kind of little subplots and sub storylines. And then you have, was it Lady, the gossip column. I mean, there was a whole lot of different things going on.
Lady Whistledown.
Lady Whistledown. And who is Lady Whistledown? So, I mean, there was a whole lot going on. And so we can't spend, yes, Daphne and the Duke were the main storyline, but you had a lot of the sub storylines going on through the whole series. Normal People is just these two high schoolers.
Yeah.
And pretty much that's it. I mean, there's stuff that's going on, but it's really just those two, and that's the whole storyline. So there's nothing to go to branch off or anything like that. You can be really intense if that's the only storyline you have in the whole series or show.
Right.
And not only that, but again, I feel like you're comparing what sex and intimacy would be like in 2021 to what it would have been like when that book was written. That's not a fair comparison. That you don't even see sex in Downton Abbey. You see people waking up, You see people kissing before they go to bed and babies show up. Okay. You don't even see intimacy in that lens. So I think, and the intimacy you do see is a lot of glancing and passing touches and that kind of thing. I think you have to keep that in mind as you're watching this, that you're viewing the intimacy in the whole microcosm of when it would have happened. And that kind of intimacy would have been different than what we expect in 2021, where PDA is rampant and where women are showing all of their body parts and where there are two schools of thought of either free love or every step needs consent. But neither one of those was prevalent at this time. And we have to keep that in mind as we watch.
I mean, you definitely have to keep it in mind because remember, she couldn't really even take off. Taking off her glove was a big thing to touch a man, right?
That's true. Yes.
Showing that ankle.
So, right. And so that thing where, you know, Daphne and Simon there, you know, at the art show or whatever, and he kind of halfway touches her hand. I mean, if somebody had actually seen that, that would have been a big deal. I mean, the whole reason why she's getting into this whole marriage thing is because somebody saw them kissing. Oh my God, scandal. Somebody saw them kissing. So, I mean, you just.
And I don't think they even saw them kissing. They went to the garden and they came back. And I'm not even sure it was they actually saw them kissing. It was you into the darkened garden without a chaperone. My goodness.
Exactly.
Exactly. I mean,
but yeah, I mean, romance novel, the sex, we're all here for it. Great. So let's kind of wrap this up a little bit. Even though this is a TV show and we're not talking about the series of books by Julia Quinn, we're really talking about the TV show. We're going to do a Goodreads rating. 1 star is I did not like it. 2 stars, it was okay. 3 stars, I liked it. 4 stars, I really liked it. And 5 stars, it was amazing. So what would you rate it star-wise? What did you like that maybe we hadn't really even talked about yet? How about we start with Dana, just because she's on me.
So I am going to, y'all aren't going to believe this, but I'm going to give it 3 stars.
I did want to hate it.
And I also know that when they come out with the other 1700 seasons of it, I'll probably watch all of them because I have to. Like, definitely it was one of those can't judge a book by its cover deals, you know. I didn't hate it. And I mean, I found quite a bit of enjoyable, especially there are some characters that I just want to know more about and that I really, really love. And Lady Danbury is definitely one of those. She should have like her own season. I don't think that's how it goes, but that would, you know. So yes, I would give it a 3. And what I guess in terms of what I liked that we didn't really talk about, and we talked about it a little bit, but there were just some characters that I think stood out for me. And another one of them besides Lady Danbury, yeah, and I'm sorry, she's one of the sisters. I can never think of her name, but she's the one who looks like her story might be next. I'm not sure because I don't know if it's her or the redhead girl. The one who, she's a sister.
And I believe her name is Eloise.
Yes, Eloise. Thank you. Okay. I love her character. She had me rolling. I love her. She's feisty. So I'm actually excited to see how her story kind of goes because, you know, I always say, I think I was born in the right time period. Like, I don't think I would have fared well back then, but I think she's a little bit more forward thinking. And so I'm excited to kind of see how her story plays out. Like I said, there's some characters that weren't focused on as much. I mean, they were there, but not necessarily that I think actually shone brighter than maybe some of the ones they probably expect.
Marcy, rating wise.
I would have given it, 4.8 stars.
Right.
I loved it. It was perfect viewing. Perfect fare for a holiday season where, you know, I had downtime. I almost binged it. I had to split it up though because I started too late in a day. But yeah, I loved it. I've watched it. I've started watching it again. 4.8 stars. I stand behind it.
All right. Stacy, what's your rating?
I would give it 4 stars. 5 stars to me is if I'm willing to see it, I'll watch it again. The only way I'll probably see it again is when the next season is supposed to come out and I might try to refresh my memory.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it watching that time. I don't see myself really watching it that one season again, just because that's why I'm giving it 4 stars. But I really enjoyed it when I saw it. I just really enjoyed it. It was a good, all the subplots and the sub storylines, which we didn't talk about, which I would like to really talk about. But
well, talk to us about it then. Let's talk about it.
Okay. Well, some of the things is like, was it the Featherington who lived next door to the, across the street?
Oh, yes. Featherington.
Featheringtons.
Yes.
And so the whole thing with when the Featheringtons let the young lady who was a friend of the family stay with them, that whole plot line, we had a lot of discussion on that. And I just want to hear people's thoughts on how they felt about her plot line, about this young unwed mother trying to...
A baby mama? Is that what you're saying?
Basically what it is. Basically, that's what she was.
Baby mama. Okay.
So I'm not sure about, you know, my thoughts on that and just seeing... I just really, you know, that whole family life over in that side, they were to me the more interesting family. Except for what's Daphne, what was going on with Daphne and the Duke. That family to me just had a whole lot of stuff going on, and they were a whole lot more interesting to watch at times than Daphne's family.
Our discussion of Bridgerton continues on episode 6.2, where we talk about the Featheringtons, the baby mama, and some other maybe controversial things, but overall, talk about what we really loved about this show. Subscribe on wherever you get your podcast to be informed of when we drop that latest episode. Or catch up on episodes at ymnelson.com, where you can find all of our episodes, show notes, and book recommendations. Stardate. Not too distant future. Brandon is a diehard Trekkie. He's watched every Star Trek franchise episode multiple times. He has several cosplay and collectible uniforms in his closet. Commander Will Riker is his favorite cosplay character, and he's been to dozens of conventions. But he's never met or gotten in a fight with another Trekkie like Phoenix. Phoenix is looking forward to her first Star Trek convention until she meets Brandon. He's nothing like the Riker character she loves to hate. He's combative, socially awkward, and off-putting. But he's so adorable. Phoenix and Brandon keep running into each other, each time more heated than the next. With 3 days of convention to get through, will they get past the hostility and find what they know is there? Attraction and perhaps love? This is the premise of Stardate, a free e-story for my newsletter subscribers, available on February 1st. If you like Trekkie romance, romantic comedy, or just like to see a little grumpy sunshine trope, this story is for you. Go to ymnelson.com/subscribe and get your free copy.